What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Yeah, I could sing that for another 10 or 15 minutes. Sometimes it's all right. Maybe we kick that song back in again. Like Paul said, we're here to lift up the name of Jesus. And what a precious name it is. Amen? So it's good to see everybody. Well, I feel like the church is leaning, you know. Not that you guys are overweight or anything. I didn't mean that. But welcome. Welcome. See everyone. Folks for the first time, visitors, thank you. Good to see you guys. And amen. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy, if you want to turn in your Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we're going to be. Amen. Let's remember our church as we move along in God's will. Let's keep praying for our church body and our church family. And if you can't come out tonight, Karen called me yesterday and asked her and a guy named John, who was the music minister at First Baptist for a while, can come and sing tonight. She called me a couple times, and I finally saw the phone. I said, yeah, that'd be great, so let's do that. So they're going to come and minister to us tonight and sing, and I think that'll be a good time. So if you can, come tonight. I think we'll be blessed, right? Angela's mom, I heard she can sing good, so I'm excited about that. Pray for me and Lynn, or Lynn and I, or whatever the correct way to say that is, right? We're going to be out next week, next Sunday. Paul's going to fill in for us. Thank you for that. And let's pray for Paul and Rob and his family. I know we are, but let's continue doing that. I really feel in my heart that God's going to open up a door, you know, for Paul to pastor a church again. He was pastor for several years, what, 4, 5, 6 years or something like that? Yeah, and pastor a church and, you know, senior pastor. And I just feel that God's going to open up that door for him again. Man, you know, all that equipping and all that education, master's degree, you know, seminary, and so all that's for nothing. It's not for nothing, right? God still got the door for him, so we're going to pray that God will open up that door soon. I know it's like fire shut up in his bones, I'm sure. And so he's going to fill in for me Sunday, and then next Sunday night will be the fifth Sunday night sing. So that'll work out great. Lynn and I are celebrating our 34 wedding anniversary. So we're going to go somewhere. And we're going to go somewhere and have a good time and relax and rest and celebrate our anniversary. There she is. Sorry. And I love her, and we're still in love after 34 years. And God's good, isn't he? We've been faithful to one another, and just love her so much. And y'all know that. I brag on her too much sometimes. But we're going to go and spend some time together. We have a friend that is out of town for a while, and he's going to let us use his house in a gated golf community in New Smyrna Beach for 4 nights. So, hey, for free. It can't be that, right? So we're going to go do that. We're going to have a good time and enjoy ourselves. So enough of that, right, Jamie? So Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 6. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, thank you for beautiful music and the hymns and the old hymns and the new hymns and the new praise and worship. Father, thank you for that infilling of the Spirit that happened to me during that praise and worship song. I needed that little gas up. I thank you for that, Father. Lord, we just lift up our church in Jesus' name, Lord. We plead the blood of over every member, every visitor. We ask, Father, that your will be done in everything that's going on and happening. And Lord, for the ones that are not here, all the ones that are not here, Father, we just We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll give them peace, that you'll help them, that you'll guide them, that you'll give them wisdom. Father, we lay them at the foot of the cross and ask for your mercy, your forgiveness, your grace. Lord, we just speak blessings over their lives as we love them. Lord, we just pray above all things that your will be done. Lord, help me with this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 6, and let's read together. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Verse 3, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorsteps of your house and on your gates. Everybody said amen? Amen. So the picture is being painted here. We have Moses that led the Israelites, you know, out of the slavery of Egypt and through the wilderness. For 40 years, as we all know, they wandered about around and around in the wilderness. But God took care of them, didn't he? Day by day, he took care of them. Now, we all know from the story that most of them had to die, you know, to kind of die off. And then the guys that were young grew up, and then they were beginning to move in and start going into the land that was promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, here we have Moses, who knew that he wasn't going to be able to go into the promised land. Here was Moses reminding them one more time about the Ten Commandments and reminding and sharing with them about the greatest commandment of all, which was love. When you study the book of Deuteronomy, it's really amazing because it has a lot of love in it. In Deuteronomy, it's where God first told mankind that he loved them. He didn't tell them in the other chapters, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. He did not tell them that he loved them. Now, he showed them a lot by his actions. He showed them that he loved them by his actions. But it was in Deuteronomy that he first used words to tell his people that he loved them. Jesus quoted out of Deuteronomy more than any of the other Old Testament books. Let's look at a few things that Jesus did say. Now, we all know the story when Jesus was hanging around with these guys, and called Sadducees, and some of you young guys, Sadducees. They were sad, you see, because what? They didn't believe in the resurrection. You know, I'm talking to you new Christians, but you young guys too. They were sad, you see. Oh, y'all remember that, right? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection, you know. And so they were sad. They have no hope. But anyway, they're sitting around. These cats are sitting around talking, listening, debating with Jesus. They come up with what they thought was a complicated theological question for Jesus. Now, Jesus really didn't give them a direct answer to their question, but he did point out firmly that they did not know the scriptures, nor did they understand the power of God. This is Jesus. Jesus even went on and told them that they were wrong. And if you look at that word wrong, it means a mistake. It was mistaken. It was wrong. And if you study that Greek word of wrong, it actually goes deeper to say that you're so wrong that it's causing someone to lead astray, to lead aside in the wrong direction. So Jesus was correcting him and telling them he was wrong. And once he did this, they never asked Jesus another question from that point on, you know. And so let's look at Mark chapter 12. Okay? Mark chapter 12. It says, one of the teachers asked Jesus another question. And I'm just going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation, so y'all hang with me if you're in your King James, it might not read the white, but I just wanted to read it out of this translation. Mark 12, 28-31. So just listen. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked Jesus, he said, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Okay. Verse 29, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. You see, right here, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy. And then Jesus added, love your neighbor as yourself. And this teacher of the law, he quickly agreed with Jesus. Oh, okay, yeah, he agreed with him. And Jesus even told him, now this is me, so you know, I could be wrong about this, but this is me. I think in the way I've studied this, that Jesus kind of laughed and giggled with this guy, you know, kind of smiled because he said, it was like Jesus saying, you're getting it. You're getting it. You're getting it. Jesus even says, even told him that he was real close to the kingdom of heaven. He's like, you're almost got it here. Because you remember, Jesus hadn't died on the cross and raised from the dead and all that yet, you know. So Jesus would tell him, you're getting it, man. You got it. You're getting it. So Jesus added to the word, didn't he? Jesus added to the word. He added to this Old Testament scripture because he is the word. He added to the word of God because he is the word of God. Jesus can do that. Matthew 5, 17 and 20. Matthew 5 and 17, Jesus said this. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law, which is the Old Testament rules and regulations, you know, and laws. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. He said, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. This is Jesus talking. So Jesus clearly teaches that to follow him is so much more than following rules and regulations. Just like we taught our children in Vacation Bible School a few weeks ago, we need the law to show us our sin and convict us to repentance and make it very, very clear that we are in desperate need of a Savior. I love all the teachers at Vacation Bible School, but when Anita taught that class, it was profound. I'm going to do that at, you know, some of you work at a drug and alcohol treatment center full time, so I'm going to do that with my clients. But Anita had this little sticker, and she would put it on the, wouldn't let the kids read it, put it on the kid's forehead, and it said sin real big. And so the kid was like, she asked him, do you know what's on your forehead? And the kid was like, no. And everybody else could see it, you know, see the sin on the forehead. And so they didn't understand. They didn't understand what was going on until Anita gave them a mirror. And it was brilliant. I know it came out of the curriculum, but Anita's still brilliant, right? But she gave them a mirror. And the mirror was representative of the law. And so she said, now look in the mirror. And the kid looked in the mirror, and what did he see? He saw sin across his forehead. So the law is good. We need it. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. He lived the sinless life. Because we can't, but he did it. But the law is still there, the Ten Commandments, the law, and all. We still need those things because the law convicts us in our sin. Right? So we need that. When we look at the law, it shows us that we have sin. My message this morning is, yes, we all know God told Moses to tell his people to love God with all their being. And yes, we know from reading the Gospels that we should love our neighbor. Now listen closely. But most of us forget all about loving ourselves. Allow me to read it again. Jesus said this, Mark 12:31. The second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love yourself. My question this morning is, do you love yourself? You should. Jesus said so. I think he knows what's best for us. See, if you don't love yourself, it'll be hard for you to love others. If you don't like yourself, it'll be real hard for you to like others. If you secretly hate yourself, you'll hate others. One of the many things I've learned as a professional counselor is this: hurting people hurt people. People that are hurting inside, they hurt people. And most of the time, they don't even mean to. People who have a hard time loving themselves have a hard time loving God. And it's mainly because they have a difficult time receiving God's love. One of the main strongholds of the enemy in hindering your ability to receive God's love is unforgiveness. Most of us have heard sermon after sermon and read article after article about how to forgive others. And that's important. Others who may have hurt you, that's important. Very important. But today, this morning, I would like to offer a few suggestions on how to forgive yourself. Are you ready? If you're taking notes, write this one down. You have to learn how to give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. You are not God. You are not perfect. You never have been, and as long as you're on this earth, you never will be perfect. You will not be the perfect parent or grandparent or husband or wife, mom or dad. You will make mistakes. You have made mistakes. You will make them again in the future. Give yourself a break. You're not perfect. Acceptance is one of the keys. When your children go this way, your children go that way, acceptance. Lynn and I have learned that one years ago. Acceptance. You can't control them. You can't control what happens. God's in control or He isn't. He is. Acceptance. Here's the next one. You are not your mistakes. I'll say that again. You are not your mistakes. Your past does not equal your future. Therefore, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Your past have been forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. You have eternal life. You have eternal security. God said He would never leave you and never forsake you. God said there is nothing that can pluck you out of His hand. Yet while you were in your sin, Christ died for you. Christ loved you. He loves you. You are saved and born again and sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We are saved by God's grace through our faith in Him. It has nothing to do with how good you are. Has nothing to do with your works, what you do or what you don't do. It's by His grace, His mercy, has shown upon us. It doesn't matter what you did in your past. It does not matter what you did in your past. It does not matter what happened to you in your past. God loves you anyway. God loves you. He wants you to know that this morning. I love it when the music matches my message. Sometimes I just want to tell angels, don't even text me. Just make a decision, right? And every time she chooses a song, it just goes right on my message. And I'm sitting there like all jacked up, ready to get up here. God's grace is enough for us. Isn't it? His grace is sufficient for us right here today. God loves you so much that He sent His only Son to live a sinless life on this earth, to die a terrible, terrible death on the cross. And then God raised Him from the grave on the third day so that He could have a relationship with you and you and you and you and you and me and you. Have an intimate relationship, a friendship, a lordship, a kingship. You know, He wants those relationships with us. I encourage you today to accept His forgiveness. Accept it. It's a gift. Accept God's forgiveness. Place your need, listen closely to this, place your need to forgive yourself in His ability to forgive you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Not some. He's not going to clean you up a little bit. He said He would forgive us of all unrighteousness, which therefore leaves us righteous. Through the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary, righteousness means right standing with God. In other words, Melissa, you're good to go with God. You're good to go. You're good to go. Not because of our works or anything we do or don't do. Completely. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. If God has forgiven us, then who are we to not forgive ourselves? God's forgiven you. God's forgiven me. I encourage you this morning as I close, put a stake in the ground today and make your claim. By faith, I receive God's love right now. I am a born-again believer in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I have been adopted into the family of God. He is now my Abba Father. I rest in His mercy and His grace. He has forgiven my sins and cast them as far as the east is the west. And my sins have been forgiven. And through Him I can do all things. And I am worthy to be a servant of the Most High God. Because of the shed blood of Christ on Calvary. And it's all about Calvary. It's all about the cross. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth. Lord, when we hear the truth and we receive the truth, we know that the truth will set us free. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's struggling with their past, struggling with shame or guilt or condemnation, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask You to set them free. I give them whatever they need to accept Your free gift of salvation, to accept Your free gift of forgiveness. Lord, help them forgive themselves. They're not perfect. They're not You. Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, during the song of invitation, that they'll come down. I'd love to talk with them and pray with them. Maybe there's someone here that just like to sit right there in their pew and give their life to You. Or maybe a rededication. And Father, we're always open to talk to folks about joining our church and getting baptized. Lord, we love that. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing in our church, Lord. Sometimes we don't understand, and sometimes it don't make sense in our finite mind. But all we can do is look to You, Christ. Just look to You, Lord. Look for Your guidance, Your wisdom. We just trust You, Father. We can't figure it out. I'm going to stop trying to figure it out. I can't deal with that. So I'll just give it over to You, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.